Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 18th, 2015. Today is Wednesday in the fourth week of Lent. The crowds ask Jesus in today's gospel reading, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They say to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." Isn't it interesting? The crowd that has just shortly before been fed on a mountainside, a miraculous feeding, fed in the wilderness from meager resources that Jesus has taken and given thanks for and distributes. Everyone eats their fill. There are leftovers. And now, just a short time later, they say to Jesus again, "What's the sign that you're performing? What are you going to do for us so that we can believe? See, our ancestors, we were fed in the wilderness. We had bread from heaven, not just some barley loaves and fish on a mountainside." Jesus counters by saying to them, "It wasn't Moses that gave that bread, it was God. The God who gave the bread to your ancestors in the wilderness is the same God who is giving me to you now. I am the bread of life." There's so much going on in this story that it would just be fun to sit and read it and find connections not only to John's gospel but to other parts of the biblical narrative. I couldn't help, though, reflecting upon one bit of the narrative. The people who are in conversation with Jesus in the sixth chapter of John claim their Hebrew heritage. They invoke a story, the story of their people being fed in the midst of the wilderness. And the story goes like this: the children of Israel come out of Egypt, they get through the Red Sea, they're in the desert, and now they're hungry, and they begin to grumble and complain. "What, Moses brought us out here to die? Yes, we were in slavery back in Egypt, but at least our bellies were full." Moses intercedes on their behalf, and God sends a substance. The Bible says it's flaky, like hoarfrost. The Hebrew people look at it on the ground and they use a word, manna. Now, manna is a Hebrew word which means, "What is it?" They didn't know what it was, but they received it as nourishment. And for the next 40 years in the wilderness, every day a provision would be given to them. This stuff. This "what is it?" This manna. And so the people in conversation with Jesus are recounting this story of the daily provision of their ancestors in the wilderness. And Jesus, in his conversation back to them, says, now it's not a matter of what is it, it's a matter of who is it. The living bread, that which will sustain you to eternal life, is before you, the one who has been sent from the very God who fed your ancestors with the what is it, now brings to you in flesh and blood a new sort of nourishment in the form of a who is it. I think it's important that we not be too critical of the people who are having their conversation with Jesus. Much like his conversation with the woman at the well in chapter 4 and with Nicodemus in chapter 3, Jesus is using language that it's clear they understand the meaning of the words, but he is using language in such a way that people are not getting his message. He's using simple language, but he is using it in a way that continues to confound people. What does it mean that he is living bread? What does it mean that he is the one sent from God? What does it mean that he is the way that people will do the works of God? I can understand why the people are having a struggle. And I don't want those of us who are listening to these words now with the advantage of 20 centuries of Christian history to think that somehow we've got some insight. I think sometimes we read these words of Jesus and we think we know what he means, and I'm not so sure that we do. What does it mean for those of us who name Jesus as Lord, who claim him to be the incarnation of God? What does it mean for us to say that Jesus is our bread? That Jesus is our sustenance? That the message of Jesus nourishes us in the same way that the children of Israel were nourished by the manna? In a lot of ways, we're not that different from the folks that Jesus is talking to. We could very well be the ones who would be asking, what must we do to perform the works of God? We very well could be the ones who are in our own way saying to Jesus, what sign are you going to give us now? What are you going to do for us now so that we can truly believe? 20 centuries and we're not that far removed. We still struggle with belief. We still struggle with knowing how to do the work of God. But the answer in front of us is the same answer that the people in the Gospel of John receive. I am the one. I am the bread of life. I have been sent to nourish you forever. If you partake of this bread, you will never be hungry. And you will never be thirsty. But my guess is that the way we're going to know that our spiritual hunger will be sated is not because it comes in one big event. We have our spiritual hunger met day in and day out on a daily basis. Just like those Israelites with the manna. I think that might be the reason that we pray every day, give us this day our daily bread. And that daily bread is not a what, it's a who. It's Jesus, God's Son, and our Savior. Let us pray. O Lord our God, you sustained your ancient people in the wilderness with bread from heaven. Feed now your pilgrim flock with the food that endures to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.